Hello and welcome to Meet the Writers. After almost 3 years of extensive refurbishment, the Queen Elizabeth Hall and the Purcell Room have reopened at the London cultural hub, the South Bank Centre. On the show ahead, I walk round the iconic Brutalist building with the Director of Literature there, Ted Hodgkinson, describing the new look of the venue and outlining the literary programme for the season ahead.
Hi, I'm Ted Hodgkinson. I'm Senior Programmer for Literature and Spoken Word at South Bank Centre, and we're right outside the Queen Elizabeth Hall and Purcell Room Artist Entrance, and we're about to head inside.
This is really exciting because, of course, you've just had a complete refurbishment here, and so many of the buildings which have a fabulous past are looking forward to a reinvigorated future.
Absolutely. One of the wonderful things about the restoration is that they've restored these spaces to their original glory, and the architects have been really careful to sort of pare them back in this very thoughtful, methodical way, and they've actually used some techniques that sculptors use to apply a kind of resin to the concrete that's then been peeled back. So it's very literally kind of taking back layers and layers and restoring them to what they originally intended to be, which has always been that they have been incubators of innovation. They've always been spaces that have housed and given platforms to the new. They are incredibly exciting spaces to use as a programmer because they give you so much flexibility. They allow for production values and theatrical dimensions to literary events, which means that you can do things like live readings, you can do really intimate events, but you also have the scale of the Queen Elizabeth Hall as well. So it's an amazing thing to have in your toolkit as a programmer.
Well, I feel very special being backstage here, and we're walking through, and I think the listeners will get a sense of the different spaces that we're passing through just by hearing these various sounds. So this is clearly a green room area with various people relaxing on the way. We go through here, and are these dressing rooms?
We're just actually at the stage door here. Just behind us, you can see some kettle drums and percussion, and there are drumsticks on stands and cymbals ready to go. One of the fun things about working here is backstage, you're always bound to bump into someone doing something interesting, whether it's tuning up their hi-hat or doing arpeggios or poet running through their script. So it's just as exciting backstage, I would say, as it is on stage.
So we're actually going on the stage now. Which stage is this?
So we're in the Queen Elizabeth Hall now, and this stage has been set up for a musical performance this evening. And this is a beautiful wood-lined room, a capacity of 900 seats. You have this sort of ventricles of the concrete up in the ceiling, which allow the ventilation to come through. That's all been completely redone. There was a ventilation system that hadn't been changed since it was originally created, which is actually powerless and made of paper. So, you know, it's been changed kind of dramatically since then. These seats have been totally revamped and revitalized. They're almost too comfortable. So the ceiling really, really high above us. You've got this enormous lighting rig, which is incredibly flexible and versatile. And as you can see, there's always kind of a little bit of activity in these spaces. They're always very much used and loved, and the range of audiences that come here is staggering. This evening you've got a classical piece being performed, tomorrow night could be a contemporary gig, comedy. This is a great space for literature because you've got scale, you've got enough space to fit in an audience just shy of 1,000, but it's also, I think, warm enough. The sound is really warm, so actually you can have that intimacy, that feeling that you're really encountering an author. You know, one of the things that we've seen over the last few years is that the numbers for literary events are on the rise. Actually, they've doubled in the last 3 years. And I think that's partly because often we live in these sort of screen-orientated lives. You know, we live in this slightly separate manner. And perhaps events give you an opportunity to interact, to have an encounter, to hear from your favourite author, maybe even get your book signed after the event. And a space like this can give you that feeling of that you're in their company, but you also happen to be in the company of about 900 other people.
So what do you have planned for this venue during your season?
Well, so we've just been through our reopening period and we staged two live readings in this space. We staged one was of Chinua Achebe's Things Fall Apart for the 60th anniversary of that masterpiece, and we had 10 readers on this stage bringing that to life. A really extraordinary cast. Ben Okri opened that reading, and we had stars from Nollywood like Adesua Atomi alongside really fabulous actors like Lucien Musamati, emerging writers like Chibundu Onuzo, poets like Inua Ellams and Yomi Sode, and Abridged by Ella Orphrey. And it was a wonderful celebration of that book. And we had an audience of 600 people in here who stayed for 5 hours of reading and were absolutely wrapped and gripped. And one of the things that so many people commented on was what a funny book that is. They hadn't realized quite how brilliantly it sends up the colonial experience. The whole audience came to their feet and applauded at the end. That was the first event that we did for literature in this space, and it felt like a real blessing to have that kind of response and that audience in here. We also did The Golden Notebook by Doris Lessing, which again featured a cast of about 10 readers and brought that incredibly prescient book to life. One of the things that those two books share, I think, is that their themes and the way that they were drawing your attention to inequalities in particular were things that feel immensely of this moment, and yet they were writing them at around the time that these buildings were created, around 50 years ago. And that's why we selected them. We wanted to pick out novels which had, that similarly were innovative, were pushing forward conversations and were cutting edge, and those novels certainly do that.
And will you have more in this venue?
So this space will be used through the rest of the year as well. In July, we've got a run of literature events leading up to the Man Booker 50th, which is the 50th anniversary of the Booker Prize. So we have an amazing lineup of authors, including 17 past winners of the Man Booker Prize, and also around 60 authors as a whole taking part in that festival. We've got pairings like Alan Hollinghurst and Marlon James in this space, Roddy Doyle and Paul Beattie. We've got Eleanor Catton, Colin Tobin, and a panel of other producers and experts talking about adapting things from stage to screen. Hilary Mantel and Pat Barker talking about historical fiction and drawing out histories from the past. You know, it's a really glittering lineup of world-class writers who are interacting in ways that perhaps they wouldn't do in a normal festival. The Booker Prize has that enormous capaciousness which allows for conversations to happen that might not otherwise happen. Beyond the Booker Prize, we have Margot Jefferson talking to Reni Eddo-Lodge about Michael Jackson, which is a new book out from the Pulitzer Prize-winning Margot Jefferson, and they're going to be talking about the kind of mysteries and the mercurial nature of Michael Jackson and trying to peel back the layers of myth and look at the man and the music. There's also an event with Matt Haig. He's brought out a new book called Notes on a Nervous Planet, which is a follow-up to his enormously, well, how do you describe Reasons to Stay Alive? It's sort of reconfigured, I think, people's thinking about how you can write about mental health. And this is a new book which deepens that project and takes it further and speaks to the sort of anxious times we live in. We also have peerless American writer A.M. Holmes presenting a collection of stories that spans several decades as well. So there's lots coming up in July, and there'll be much more happening in the latter part of the year as well.
Let's move on to our next venue. And while we do that, if you'd tell me about what your job entails and how you put together stunning programmes like this.
I pinch myself regularly because it is my dream job of working with authors and putting, you can hear the piano tuning up in the background.
The piano just tuning up. So, Ted, you were saying you pinch yourself regularly.
My job entails, basically, we have a year-round literature programme here at South Bank Centre, and we believe that words are a vital part of what we do. The South Bank Centre, to give you a little bit of context and what the South Bank Centre is and why we believe in that, it was created in 1951 as a tonic to the nation, and there was a strong sense from the outset that art should be available to as many people as widely as possible, and that means that our programme is both world class, but also half of everything that we do is free and open to all. So there's both that combination of artistic excellence, but also a strong sense that actually this really needs to be open and available to as many people as possible. So that's sort of the background, and that's the heritage that we all have and hold and try to fulfill in what we do. In terms of what I do, I look after all of the word-based events at South Bank Centre, and that ranges from, it could be a Royal Festival Hall event with an author in conversation, or it could be a live reading like the ones we just talked about, which are more theatrical and require more abridgment and directing and so on. It could be a more intimate panel discussion that's about a particular theme or a contemporary issue. We touch on a really wide range of those. It could be mental health, it could be masculinity, or it could be South Asian feminism, which we had recently. So it's a really broad spectrum that we look at. It could also be workshops, something more interactive or intimate, that's a masterclass perhaps for if you wanted to learn how to write the first page of your novel from Eleanor Catton, for instance, in the Man Booker 50th Festival. So it's, the scale of what we do here is very broad, and my responsibility is to make sure that what we do is really high quality, and also that it's reaching a really wide audience. And I'm really pleased that in the last 3 years we've seen the scale, the number of events that we do in terms of audiences double, and that's a really positive sign. And I think literature also last year has been one of the key drivers for people to become members of South Bank Centre. 60% of the new members we've had have joined because of literature, and that's a really encouraging thing. And now that we have these spaces back, the Queen Elizabeth Hall and the Purcell Room, it feels like a great moment for literature to spread its wings across the whole site and be really across everything that we do. So we recently did an event in the Purcell Room called 50 Poems for 5 Decades, which celebrates half a century of poetry at South Bank Centre and beyond. Poetry has been one of the bedrocks of everything that we do here at South Bank Centre. Ted Hughes created Poetry International in 1967, and the lineup that has followed that is really a roll call of all of the major poets of the last half century. Pablo Neruda, Allen Ginsberg, and Sexton, an enormously varied and eclectic list, W.H. Auden, Joseph Brodsky. We also have Joseph Brodsky's Bar Bill, but that's another story. You know, it's a really extraordinary heritage to draw upon. And so whenever we do poetry events, we try to do them in the spirit that Ted Hughes originally set out, was that really at the time when the Cold War was at its height, when these buildings were created, Hughes had a strong sense that he wanted to reach across political divides, and that he saw poetry as a space, he described it as a universal language in which we can all hope to meet, and that there was a strong feeling that poetry could take us beyond the headlines, beyond our political differences, beyond our national differences, and unite us and remind us of the universal in our human experience. And so everything that we do poetry-wise flows from that. We did an event here on the Sunday night which included 10 poets who represent different facets of the poetry of South Bank Centre. So they ranged from people who've been very close collaborators and artists in residence, like Simon Armitage, Lavinia Greenlaw, who, as well as being an incredibly acclaimed poet, also once upon a time worked here at South Bank Centre as a literature officer. We also had poets who were from the younger generation, so Jay Bernard, young poet laureate Caleb Femi, and we had a range of international poets as well. And we arranged the evening of readings that was really a journey through the last half a century. And it ranged from Imtiaz Darker writing about her upbringing in Scotland and kind of refracting a sort of South Asian sensibility through her Scottish childhood. It ranged up to Caleb Femi's very urgent, powerful, moving poetry about the difficulties and challenges of being a young black man in London. It was really powerful, it was really moving, and it was a really highly curated event in which poetry was the narrative. There was no introduction, there was no linking. It was all done through the poetry itself. The Purcell Room is a beautiful space, beautiful sound. It's really crisp sound, as the Cohen Ensemble in there are demonstrating. And it's a space that really rewards, I think, intricate, thoughtful and really precise artistic work. It's also a really brilliant space to incubate artistic talent, new talent. So you have the opportunity to do really daring work in there. It's a space that at around a capacity of about 300, I think it's a space that allows for there to be a greater sort of daringness, I think, perhaps the things which aren't maybe, might not have the audience in the RFH or the Queen Elizabeth Hall, but that's something that's really quite challenging. A case in point, coming up is actually an event that we're doing in response to a Hayward Gallery exhibition. Lee Bull, who is a Korean artist whose work is phantasmagorical feminist that marries together kind of science fiction, and it's partly inspired by J.G. Ballard, who's an important influence for her, but it looks at animatronic female bodies, and it's really quite thrilling and unsettling. And we have curated an evening of poets and poems and fiction, which is in response to Lee Bull. So we have Sophie Collins, who's a terrific, fiercely intelligent poet, whose new collection, Who is Mary Sue, is a really exciting emergence of a new voice who makes very short work of the sort of inequalities that female poets and writers have to deal with. So it's going to be interesting to hear her response. Montaza Mary, who's the young poet laureate at the moment, similarly a really interesting, bright talent. And Ned Bowman, who has a wonderfully surreal imagination, who I think will come to that with something quite unique. So I think that combination of those three voices responding to Lee Bull in the Purcell Room will be quite a unique and quite a rich experience, and the kind of thing I think that the Purcell Room allows us to do.
So we're walking into the Royal Festival Hall now, and I can see that ABBA, Super Trooper, the exhibition, is being advertised on the window. And I'm afraid, Ted, you may have to actually physically hold me back so I don't go and watch that. We can also hear applause happening now. So this is some event that's just finished here at the Royal Festival Hall.
Yes, you know, I'm not going to hold you back from ABBA, though, because if you want to go, it's right there. And I would highly recommend it. It's a really fun... One of the things that we've done over the last few years is we have done a number of immersive exhibitions that are interactive. So we did one on Roald Dahl, where you kind of lift up a desk and you find a letter from his school days under there, and you hear the voice of BFG in his bedroom. You know, it sort of places you in the world of his stories and in the world of his life. We did one on Tove Jansson as well, on the Moomins and the Moomin World, and the experiences that inspired Tove Jansson. And the ABBA exhibition, which is taking you into the kind of 70s of Britain and the juxtaposition, the contrast between the gloom, if you like, of the 70s and the glamour of ABBA. And that is it's quite rich in history from that period, but it's also full of joy. It's a really joyous thing.
So we're getting into the lift now, the glass lift. Now, this is a lift that used to sing, used to give noises. But in fact, what you see when the lift goes up is various poets' work on the walls. And we're going up now through this beautiful vista. The sun is shining. It's looking absolutely gorgeous. And here's the wonderful foyer space, this free space that anybody can come to. There are bars and cafes. People sit here reading, working. It's a very social area, isn't it?
There are a lot of people who come here to read and to work and to kind of gather. But yes, to your point about the poems and the lift, we've just gone past it now, but the counterweight to the lift is covered in a poem by Lem Cissé. And so we try to embed art in as many ways in the space as we can. As you mentioned, the lift used to sing. It's temporarily lost its voice, but it's going to get it back soon. But Martin Creed installed an artwork in here that was a choir of voices that went up in ascending notes compared to the floor. And we're getting quite high now, so it's beyond my octave range. Otherwise, I would sing for you. But
So now we're at the top, and this takes us to the National Poetry Library. What an important collection.
Yeah. It's an amazing resource, and it's basically the largest collection of contemporary poetry anywhere in the world. The Arts Council collection, which came here and was actually opened by T.S. Eliot, and since then, we're going into the library, so I'm going to whisper slightly, but it's an amazing wealth of poetry. It's free, you just have to join, sign up, bring a bill with you and come and join. We have exhibitions which run in here, including at the moment we have an Instagram poetry exhibition. There's this real excitement and energy around Instagram poetry at the moment, and this exhibition gives a voice to a range of responses and poems that we've received through an open call. Poetry, often the sort of the most energetic parts of poetry are parts of poetry which the poetry community sort of struggles to understand. So I mentioned earlier when we were in the Purcell Room in the Queen Elizabeth Hall, Allen Ginsberg coming, there were some who thought that wasn't poetry, that what Allen Ginsberg was doing wasn't poetry. And actually, similarly, I think there is a sort of a rupturing and a whole new area of poetry which is opening up, and we want to try and reflect that as much as possible in the work that we're doing here. The stacks behind us, so there's along this room, there are row after row after row of stacks. These are absolutely packed the gills with contemporary poetry of all kinds. There's a lot of work in translation. There's poetry for children. There are poetry magazines in here. You often catch a glimpse of poets of one kind or another who come in here to research and write their poems. We have readings that run regularly. We have something called a special edition, which happens on a monthly basis, where we hear from the best and the most eclectic range of poetry that's happening at the moment. So this is actually, it's also a great place. I'm ruining it by speaking, but it's also a great place to be silent in a big noisy city and to come and to read poetry and to reflect and allow the words to take you away. So I think some people use this place as a point of refuge and reflection as well.
Shh.
Shut up.
So we're standing here on the landing of the stairs, and in front of us is the River Thames, looking absolutely glorious in the sunshine. But actually, when you look straight down, what you're mostly struck by is the carpet. There's a kind of zigzag pattern, isn't there? And then every now and again, there's a dot. Now, there is a story about this carpet, isn't there?
There is. There's a story, which possibly is apocryphal, that the designer, when working on the design, had a piece of the pattern out on the floor, and someone had left an orange in one of the spaces between the zigzags, and he sort of stood back and looked at it and thought, actually what it really needs to set it off is to have a circle, you know, in the shape of an orange in the zag, as it were. And so thereafter it became this very iconic carpet, and I think it's actually one of the most distinctive carpets and designs you'll see, and possibly just because someone left an orange out. So
So we're backstage now at the Royal Festival Hall, and it feels just really privileged to be in this place where so many great artists and writers have been before.
Yeah, I mean, Ella Fitzgerald, Bob Dylan, you name it. I mean, they've all performed here, and one of the thrilling things is to feel as though you're in their company, if you like, following in their footsteps. You walk into a dressing room and one of them might be there. We've had, over the last few years, we've had some really fantastic speakers come and speak in the Royal Festival Hall. Hillary Rodham Clinton, we've had Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, Zadie Smith, Tom Hanks, all sorts of speakers talking about the changing state of the world. It's a space that is truly unique, and it feels, you can slightly hear in the background some of the airs of the rehearsal that's going on in there. It's a space where you really feel as though there's an interaction between the world and an author on a scale that is really quite profound and exciting. But these back corridors are also a space where some exciting things can happen as well. You know, I think you often see choirs or orchestras of 300-400 people warming up backstage. During MIA's meltdown, this whole area became a kind of dance pit. It really just changes from event to event quite profoundly.
Mm. We've heard some of the background and some of the wonderful events that you've had on, and indeed looked ahead to some of what's coming. Give us then a broad outline of what we can expect for this next season here in the literature programme at the South Bank.
So coming up towards the end of the year, after the Man Booker 50th in July, which is going to be a really once-in-a-lifetime gathering of all of those exceptional authors I've mentioned earlier, later in the year we have a couple of really exceptional authors coming here. We have Khaled Hosseini coming to the Royal Festival Hall to launch a new book which is dealing with the Syrian migration crisis and refugee crisis. We also have Barbara Kingsolver launching her new novel, the first in many years, Unsheltered, which gathers together the sort of freneticism and energies and anger of the Trump era and into a novel, distills it into a novel in her crystalline prose. We also have an event which I am beyond excited about, which is the first UK appearance of Roxane Gay, a voice and a writer who's been so incisive and ahead of the curve in really adjusting our attention and drawing us to issues around the body, around inequality, about feminism. She is hilarious and she is heartbreakingly exact in her writing, and it's really thrilling to have her here. Going forward, literature will continue to be at the centre of everything that we do at South Bank Centre. I think words are a way that they're something that combine together the different art forms, and often live readings and performances that are based on books and on poems will be something that we always want to thrive and see happen here. And, you know, one of the things I think you might have got the impression of while we've been walking around backstage is that we brush up against other art forms here constantly. You know, we hear the sound of a clarinet and an oboe in the background. We're constantly surrounded by world-class artists, and there's an enormous opportunity there for us to to really innovate what literature can be on the stage. And I think the spaces that we've reopened allow us to do something which a lot of other places simply don't have the opportunity to do. So I think that's enormously exciting for me over the next few years.
You've been listening to Meet the Writers. Thanks to George McDonough and the staff of the South Bank for facilitating. You can download this show and previous episodes from our website or app, from SoundCloud, MixCloud, or iTunes. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.